T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Robert Murray, covering the Milwaukee Brewers for The Athletic, the MLB insider there. He's now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Robert, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. And how are you?
Doing well. So do you have any update on Jeremy Jeffers from yesterday?
Yeah, he is dealing with shoulder weakness, and the Brewers are going to take this really slow right now. They are in a position where they're able to do that, too, with the amount of depth that they have. But it's taken a hit in recent weeks with the loss of Bobby Wall for the season with a torn ACL. The Brewers are not concerned. They're not overly concerned. But opening day right now might be in question for Jeremy Jeffress. And Council admitted as much today. But they really won't know anything too much until about a week or so from now when they really have a better idea of what his situation looks like.
I understand they're going to take it easy, but he didn't experience any pain or anything. This was just strictly a weakness, correct?
Correct, yeah. When the Brewers went out on the mound yesterday, Council and the catcher, Jeffress asked him why they came out, and his velocity, he didn't know, was in the 83 to 84 mile an hour range. So he didn't experience any pain. It was just shoulder weakness, and the Brewers are just going to work with him on building up that strength so that doesn't happen anytime in the near future again.
So is this something that he's gone through before?
Not to my knowledge. He attributed it to basically having more experience or being a veteran, but he's, to my knowledge, in asking Jeremy and asking people around here, this appears to be the first time it's happened, like something like this.
So the rest of the team, kind of give us an update as to the pitching staff. Let's start there with some of the guys that are projected to be starters. Yulis Chacin has pitched in a minor league game, major league game. He's gotten a little bit of work in. But there's a lot of guys that right now, when you talk about inserting names into a rotation, it's a little bit up in the air. So give me your thoughts right now.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that, I'm watching Jimmy Nelson throw a simulated game. And he so far looks really good. This first batter ended up getting a hit, but I don't believe he ended up allowing a run. And his stuff looks really good right now. But as a big picture for the entire rotation, it's basically the one lock at this point is Yulis Chacin, just because of how good he was last year. And Council basically admitted as much. And the rest of it is a lot of unknowns. And there's 7 guys that really are fighting for a spot. Corbin Burns is most likely going to get one. Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta are the 3 young guys that are competing. And then you also have Zach Davies, who's coming back from, or he's trying to bounce back from injury and the down season, same with Chase Anderson. How that this all plays out exactly, I don't think anyone really knows. And that's something that we're going to end up finding out in the next few weeks, exactly. Who stands out, who ends up looking best, and how this rotation ends up looking out should have a lot more clarity in the coming weeks.
Does it seem like they're going really slow as far as stretching some of these guys out?
They're just being, from what we've asked Council, this is normal with them. They're slowly but surely easing them in, and I wouldn't read too much into it at all. We've already seen guys get it stretched out to 3 innings, like Chase Anderson and Zach Davies. I believe Chacin went 2 innings the other day, but for the most part, it seems like everybody is right on schedule where they should be.
Now, the offensive side, we know Christian Yelich is hitting the ball. We've got Jesus Aguilar's been pretty good. Is it concerning that you've had kind of a slow start to the spring for Lorenzo Cain?
No, I wouldn't say that's any sort of concern. And if there is concern, you have definitely not seen it from Lorenzo Cain. His defense, obviously, is his calling card. And he's one of the best defenders in baseball. Last season, he really progressed as a hitter. He was a lot more patient at the plate. He was taking a lot more pitches. And spring training is really just meant for ironing out different little kinks in your swing or trying to experiment with various things. So I wouldn't say there's any concern that he's had a slow start at the plate. I just think it's more of him working on different things. And I think he should be just as good as he was last year at the plate when it's all said and done.
I know Orlando Arcia has not had a great offensive spring. He's only been in five games, though. I mean, he's only got, a handful of bats, maybe 10 or 12 or something like that. So it's not like it's been overwhelming. But how comfortable is he? Because we have seen him get off to really slow starts, and it's not until maybe June or July that he finally starts to kind of get into a rhythm. And I don't know if you can continue to do that, where he gets off to these horrific offensive starts. Even though his defense is fantastic, he gets off to these slow offensive starts, and he doesn't really pour it on until you get close to the All-Star break.
Yeah, and that's a fair concern. I do think how his offensive game performs in the first half of the season is going to be extremely important. And the Brewers, I mean, they're very confident in his ability. His defense really makes up for his lack of offense, and we got to see what his offense looked like when he was on last year. But that being said, the Brewers have explored different outside options. I reported on a different radio spot recently that they expressed interest in Jose Iglesias, who ended up signing with the Cincinnati Reds. It would have been a minor league deal. That was what his market looked like. But the Brewers have looked at different options at shortstop. I don't know if they would bring in another one, but they are aware that they like to have depth is what they like to have, and having numbers behind Arcia would not be a bad thing considering his offensive struggles in the past.
They do have some guys in the minors, obviously, that could be the future, but I don't think the likelihood of either coming up and being an impact player or even, for that matter, being a starter, as some have indicated, is in the cards for this season. Do you?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're going to really see much of them making a big impact. And Keston here is most likely spotted for second base. Mauricio Dubon, Brewers are going to take really slow considering he's still coming off an ACL injury and he just lost 15 pounds because he was in the hospital because of an illness. Mm-hmm. I think Dubon is going to end up seeing playing time in the big leagues. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't see it being that giant of an impact this year.
Now talk about the outfield. We're talking Yelich, obviously still. Having a Yelich kind of spring, hitting over 400, five games, 12 at-bats. Ryan Braun in the mix. They take it really slow with him. We've seen this in the past where they just want to conserve everything they can possibly get out of him. Where is he right now?
Yeah, as you said, they're taking it really slow with him, which is not out of the norm. But Braun is a guy that has changed up his swing a little bit this offseason. He's worked with a swing coach to try to improve his bat path in hopes of hitting more home runs because one thing he said last year quite often was that he wanted to take luck out of the equation when he was at the plate. And that is something that we've yet to see in the game, so we really don't know if it's going to work. But I do believe in talking to people here, there is a decent optimism that his numbers at the plate will slightly improve. I'm not going to say drastically improve just because he's in the second part of his career right now. But I do think we're going to end up seeing a sizable impact from Braun if he stays healthy, which is always an important question with him.
One of the things I found interesting was they've got a couple of guys, Chacin being one of them, trying to develop that changeup, that off-speed, that breaking change. How much has that played into guys getting a little bit of work in the minors, kind of working some of the bugs before they actually bring it to the majors?
Yeah, and I think that's been a fair part. And the Brewers have been really religious about trying to get these guys reps in as many settings as they possibly can. And Chacin is not the only one that's working on a changeup. We got Corbin Burns, who's working on a changeup and a sinker as well. And we also see guys like Chase Anderson, who's completely reinvented himself with his delivery. So the changes are widespread, but it definitely seems like an emphasis that there's that the pitchers here are trying to work on the changeups. And Craig Counsell said that's really not out of the norm because that's a pitch that pitchers really want to focus on come spring training here.
So give me your thoughts on the new coaching staff when it comes to the pitchers, because, you know, you lose Lee Tunnel, you lose DJ. So this season coming back, it had to have a little bit of a different feel. They had built such an incredible culture out there in the bullpen. How different has it been?
It's been different. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that one. It's been different because Derek Johnson was such a respected coach. And his methods have proven to be successful. But at the same time, Chris Hook, the man who's replacing him, has been really, really good. And the pitchers here and the catchers, too, who have worked with him, have said that the transition has been really smooth. His methods are a little bit different than DJ's. Johnson was more pitch sequencing, and Hook can really dive into the mechanics pretty well. But the transition has been really smooth. And then Steve Carsey, who replaced Lee Tunnell as the bullpen coach, has been really good too. We haven't really gotten the chance to talk to him too much. He's been busy working with all the pitchers here. But from the little we've gotten to talk to him, and from what we've gotten to see with the relievers and what we've gotten to talk to him about, he's been really good too.
The biggest, I guess, thing was they had built really kind of a, when it comes to the bullpen specifically, they built kind of a culture, kind of a family down there, kind of a just a crazy bunch of guys that all enjoyed one another, and that was all started by Lee Tunnell. So it's hard to replicate that or duplicate that and be sincere about it if you're not the guy that originally started it. It seems like you're trying to do something that maybe is not in your character. They're still trying to feel that out, I'm sure, but has the bullpen guys, have they spoke glowingly as to what's going on out there right now?
Yeah, they have. And even as you say that, the influence from Lee Tunnell is still here. He coined a phrase in his time here of anytime, anywhere, anyone. That was for the relievers, so that anyone can go in any situation at any time. And the pitchers here are still saying that. But at the same time, Steve Carsey is implementing his own different things. He's got new methods that he's been talking to these guys about. And the relievers seem to be really happy. And there's genuine optimism that they're going to be able to repeat the success last year or from last season. But the injury or the concerns with Jeremy Jeffress' shoulder obviously would play a decent chunk into that.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you hanging out with us for a couple of minutes. Get back to enjoying your day down there in Maryville. I'll see you down there on Sunday, and then we'll get back at it on Monday, okay?
All righty, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Robert. There you go. Robert Murray covering the Brewers for The Athletic. He's the MLB insider there, and he's joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.